kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
That's a loaded question this week.
Yes, it is.
My struggle is real.
How are you?
No, I don't even want to. Like, my husband is currently messaging me that our van is beside the road dead.
Oh, no.
So this is a thing, and I'm not in a place to deal with shit right now. How's your week going?
Going pretty good. My dad came in to visit from Tennessee, so I've been hanging out with him quite a bit. He just left this morning. And,
did you have a good time?
Yeah, we had fun. We watched the movie Tag. Have you seen that?
I have not. Is that new?
New-ish. It's the one about a group of lifelong friends who've been playing the same game of Tag for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, every month of May, they play the game of tag, and, like, they live in different cities, so they'll be visiting each other and, like, trying to surprise each other. It's actually a really cool movie, so.
Wow, that is interesting.
And it got heartwarming in the end really well. Yeah. So, a thumbs up on Tag if anyone hasn't seen that one and are interested. I give it a thumbs up.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was reading what Ian said. Hey, what? That was a very, very dramatic change of pace from what you were talking about. I don't think you guys watched the same movie.
No, not at all. Dad came in from out of town, kicked some puppies, burnt down an orphanage, real quality time. But you know what's cooler than what Doc Havoc said?
What's that?
The fact that No Time for Games just gifted Latino Heat a sub.
Very
drop
nice.
In
very
subs.
Wet pancakes for everybody.
Wet pancakes. Oh, I could do that one. Hold on. No, I can't because the volume's down. Hold on. God damn it. This is not working well. It's one of those days.
Wet pancakes.
There we go. Wet pancakes.
The pancakes are not just moist this week. They are sopping wet in their own perspiration because
they're
it's
drippy.
Fucking humid and miserable and nobody's happy.
Man, it's getting shitty. This is the kind of weather that I hate, and I'm doing this with my air conditioner off. I know you have yours on.
I apologize.
We did this on Friday to avoid the Thursday night fireworks because we normally record Thursday nights. And instead, we're dealing with air conditioners, and like three of my neighbors are cutting their goddamn grass right now.
If it amounts to anything, I don't hear the lawnmowers.
That's good. Fingers crossed the mic's not picking it up.
Because David's not home to keep them chill, so it's an interesting, like, we went out of the frying pan and literally into the four as far as recording the show goes. We should have just put up with the fireworks.
Carnage, you know what's more miserable? The RNG in Gears in Gems of War. Not Gears of War. God damn it.
RNG
Gems of War.
Ass. But still playing Gems of War is your own fucking fault.
Yeah, that is. Scott. You weirdo.
Like, how many times have you completed that game? And then
I don't know if there is a completion to Gems of War.
Achievement wise, and that's all that Carnage cares about anyway.
True. I was going to say, I didn't think that game had an actual end.
Yeah, but like,
just achievements, you're right. Complete it every couple of months.
See? Like, people fuss at me for The Division and be like, you completed the first one and all the DLC. And I was like, yeah, but have you seen them motherfuckers playing Gems of War? My 3,000 hours in Division isn't a drop in the bucket.
Oh, I don't even want to know how many hours I'm at in Rock Band 4, because that's got to be an embarrassing number as well.
You would probably make my Division numbers look sad.
Possibly.
You know, the crazy thing is that I haven't even played Division in 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. I've played Rocket League, but Suda's been crazy busy, and so we just haven't had time to play games, so I've been piling on the reviews and playing by myself. So when he does get on, we only have like half hour, 45 minutes to play some Rocket League, because you can't get into Division for 40 minutes.
No.
Like, if you don't have 4 hours, you ain't doing shit.
Yeah, I don't play the Division that much, but at least I know that that's not a pick up and play kind of.
No.
Oh, I got 15 minutes to kill. Let me do a run quick.
Yeah, you ain't even getting out of the base of operations in no 15 minutes. So
I have to check my equipment 4 hours later. All right, I gotta stop playing.
Yeah, and so when we've picked up and played, it's been Rocket League. I actually bought the Rocket Pass, which is something I never do, but my husband started a new job and we're not poor, and so I could afford a $10 Rocket Pass now. I'm so excited. I mean, we're poor now that the fucking car broke down again, but
making it rain. Making it rain Rocket Passes.
Yeah, last week I could afford a Rocket Pass. So.
Was it a fun week that you had money?
It was for the 1 week. Which, most of it went, we just went ahead and bought like school clothes and shit for the kids. Because we're only like 3 weeks out from starting school back here.
Really? That soon?
Yeah. Yeah. We get out in May, but we go back at the very first week of August.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They have to make concessions for the fact that we will not go all of January and February.
Yeah, true. Also, Prime, oh my God, early stream? No, we're just like 14 hours late.
Yeah. Less early, more postponed.
Yes. We have a nice turnout. I should drop some codes, shouldn't I?
You should. You should just start like plastering codes left, right, and center.
I should.
Like mix them all up on the screen, like five letters here, five letters there, and let people figure it out the hard way.
Just figure it out. You could get it.
Good luck.
The best thing is,
we should do that for the 500.
What, just random codes?
Random.
On random the, digits random, everywhere?
Yeah, and figure it out which ones work. Good luck.
Have fun, kids.
Where it says Skype used to go here, but Microsoft broke it. Just like randomly replace butt with a part of a code. Randomly pop a part of a code into the chat log. Oh, take it on the SML podcast, white out SML and put part of a code.
Reword the biddy to refitty my shitty compitty and put a code down there.
Yeah, see? Really brilliant. We're on top of this.
I'm telling you, people, on the 25th of this month, you need to come to our Twitch and actually watch a stream, because we are going to have so, so, so much stuff to give away.
It's true. It is true.
Like, it is ridiculous. I went from one day not having any plans at all for the 500th episode, thinking, it'll just be another episode. The next day, same time, and it's just, holy shit. We are packed up. And then look at you dropping 200 biddies in chat.
What?
Yeah. Look at you doing that.
Oh, dropping bits!
Dropping bits indeed, Norg. Awesome Prime saying he just played Emily Wants to Play, and thanks for scaring the shit out of him. You are welcome. My sister just got, she just got Emily Wants to Play and Emily Wants to Play too, because I've had all these spare codes. I figure my sister just got an Xbox One. I would send a couple of codes to her to help her and my niece build a library. And, she got scared incredibly well by Emily Wants to Play. She's like, I'm just walking around this house for the first hour. I'm just walking around. Nothing's happening. Things are disappearing, and it's kind of creepy. And then the clock changes, and I'm still walking around the house exploring. Then all of a sudden, it's in my face. And I'm just laughing, knowing exactly what happened.
It's so good.
The first time you play that game and you don't know what's going on, oh man.
Yeah, That first hour, because there's this false sense of security, and you're like, I don't understand what this is so scary for. I don't understand why everybody complained about it. And then you're like, you know, just casually walking around, I got a flashlight now, everything's fine. And oh no, a spooky light turned off. And then like random killer clowns start eating your face, and then shit goes haywire from there.
I swear to God, I thought you said we have a fleshlight.
Fleshlight. Do you know how horrible it is that they named it that, knowing there are people with accents like mine in the world? And it doesn't matter how clearly I say flashlight, it's still going to sound like fleshlight.
Yeah, that's funny.
Sad.
Speaking of giving stuff away, should we?
No, let me finish my damn thing. Okay. I'm going to pretend to be UK and start calling it a torch. That way I don't have to say flashlight no more.
My torch. The batteries on my torch are out.
Okay, now carry on.
Speaking of giving things away, we actually did a giveaway on our Twitters where we asked people to tell us their best zombie survival plan. Remember that one?
I do, because that was my prompt, and I'm so proud of me.
I know, and we have a bunch of emails to go through. Should we take care of this now before we dive into any news or anything?
Let's roll.
All right. The first email comes from Aroto Demedo. Again, the prize here was for Outbreak, Last Hope, that we reviewed, what, two episodes ago?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Says, simple, really. Just strap a bunch of meat around yourself, kind of like the time Lady Gaga did it, and then even if you get caught, the zombies will only bite the superficial meat that doesn't belong to you, feel satisfied, and move on to kill someone else. Then you get up and walk away scot-free. Then do the boring stuff like find water, food, shelter, etc. Easy peasy. P.S. Did you guys... go ahead.
That was a plot line in The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Well, kind of. They just draped their bodies with flesh, and they didn't get attacked. They just blended in.
No, but like, that. Remember the whole thing? Spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen like season 4, I think it was. But like, when they did that whole cliffhanger of did Glenn die? And it was basically just he pulled the body of the one that offed himself over on top of him. And then, yeah, like the zombies ate him instead.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay, yeah, carry on.
Before the show started getting stupid.
Yeah, I haven't even watched past season 6.
When they
ended the comic book. Did you know that?
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Just boom. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, and they were apparently like scheduling covers for months ahead to throw people off.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just surprise, ends now. Final issue right here.
Craziness.
Oh, man. But Aroto, yeah, covering his body in meat sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Next email from BX Latino Heat, who says, good evening to the SML podcast. If I ever had to encounter zombies and protect myself and my family from harm, I would store plenty of food, water, medicine, flashlights, and a radio torches. in my parents' bunker, and a torch in my parents' bunker. I would then proceed and call a family friend who has his house loaded with guns and ammo to come stay with us and bring his arsenal of mass destruction. Once he arrives, I would ask him to assist me in barricading the entire house using barbed wire and motion detectors. After this is all complete, we would arm ourselves to the max and sit and wait to extinguish and blow away any zombies who attempt to invade our space. This is my zombie survival plan. Thanks so much to the SML podcast for all you do. So load up with food and guns. Good idea.
Yep, sounds like it would work.
Next email from Mary Bove, my sister, who's trying to get in on the action here. She says, my zombie survival plan, go to the gun store, get plenty of guns and ammo, then drive to Beaver Meadows and load up at my Baba's house, our grandmother. Live a worry-free life for years off of all the food in her basement and then shoot zombies from the roof. Our grandmother's basement is loaded with food, by the way.
Fantastic. I need a grandmother like that.
Oh, man. All right. No. Oh, shit. Next email is from Tit Shits McGee. Haven't heard from Tit Shits McGee in a while. Have you been around for Tit Shits McGee?
I believe I have, but it has been a long time.
It has been quite a while. There was a time where I thought it was Chris because he would only show up when Chris was on the show for stuff.
Is it not Chris?
It's not Chris.
Wow.
So I still don't know who Tit Shits McGee is. But they say, what's up, fuck stains? Been a while. That's a great intro to an email. Best zombie survival plan is simple. Joe lays his fat ass on the ground. We slice him open, tauntaun style, and live inside him until the outbreak is over. Zombies contained and Joe is dead. Win-win. Go to hell.
I clearly get to be a survivor, though.
That's beautiful.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. Next email from Jacob Garner, who says, "Hey, SML, back when I used to work at a library, my escape plan was to lock all the library doors, most of which were not bulletproof, but highly resistant glass, which pretty strong locks. I'd go up to the stairwells, which had fire escapes and maintenance hatches to the roof. I'd just hang out up there until rescue arrived. For food and bathroom purposes, the third floor break room was right next to one of the ladders, so I'd have easy access for a while to the basic necessities. Worst case scenario, if the zombies were coming up the ladders, I could fling myself off the roof, which was right next to a concrete sidewalk, so I could die without being turned into a zombie. I had a lot of free time on my hands at the library. What can I say?"
That would only work if, like, you busted your head open in the fall. Otherwise, then you're just one of the crippled zombies that can't, you're not supposed to say crippled, but that, like, can't go anywhere or do anything.
Why aren't you supposed to say crippled?
It's people say it as a derogatory thing, but I tend to use it as like redneck. I use it as a reference to myself. It's armor. If you say it against yourself, it takes the burn out of other people saying it against you. So it's a bad habit. I still kind of say it when I shouldn't, just because I say it.
I didn't know that cripple was a word that's a no-no now.
I mean, it's been a no-no for like 20 years. You shouldn't say that.
I've never been informed of that.
Don't say it as like a derogatory thing, at least.
Yeah. Okay, then.
You're supposed to say disabled.
Whatever. Final emails from Michael Brody. He says, "This is top secret. My plan in case of a zombie apocalypse or any end of the world situation. Joe, you're lucky. Today the world ends. I'm sure I would stay in town until it's unsafe or overrun. I would avoid Edmonton. My longest plan was to head to the family farm south of town. Instead, I would head to my sister's east, load up with supplies, talk to them to convince them to join me going north. See, in Canada, we have muskeg. I hope I'm saying it. Muskeg. You can't walk or drive on it, so in the summer, in the middle of it, you're quite safe. I would head to the charred siding first by taking back road crossing 55, 63, 55, again heading north to the K Road." I don't understand any of these references, by the way.
I'm completely lost.
Seems like you need to be Canadian to understand what the hell's being said here.
Somebody go find Chiz.
I would
then translate out of moose for us.
Maybe out of moose. I would then follow the rail line, avoiding 813. It would be a long drive north, but a person could drive the rail bed, I hope. If not, it would be 813. So yes, I would head north to the charred siding. When I get there, I would make my way into the bush down trails that would be mostly water and walking in only. In winter, it would take 45 minutes of driving to get to the site. Now, this is a natural gas compressor station. I would befriend the people there to live together and work together. Now, the gas coming out of this place creates its own power, creates heat via burning. It's an endless supply of energy. A person could set up garden, grow food, live in the middle of the bush in an area so remote that zombies wouldn't sniff you out. Enclosed is a photo of the bush. There are a few lakes to fish at, but it would definitely not be a simple location for anyone to get to. In either an end of the world scenario or zombies, this is the perfect place. And he included a picture of, I guess, Google sky image showing kind of where.
Yeah.
So I'm showing my phone to the camera.
That looks like redneck land, but with probably snow more than we get in the winter. Because Canada. Although, with the way that global warming's going, probably not for too much longer. But it looks like redneck land. That's when you, like, Google my area of the world on Google Maps, that's all you see are just the trees, treetops.
Oh, boy. But yeah, those are our entries, and the good news is we have codes for everyone.
You know what? I was about to be like, "Hey, you didn't tell me to take notes," and I didn't. And that usually only means one thing.
Everybody's a winner.
I was sitting here the whole time like, please let him have enough codes for everyone, because I don't remember what people said.
Carnage. Joe is the Oprah of codes.
You get a code. You get a code. Everybody's getting codes.
You get a code. Everybody's getting codes today. Hooray.
I did like the whole arm in the air thing, and now I'm sore and I'm just going to sit here like a potato for the rest of the show. Hurt myself.
Oh, man. So, yeah, everyone gets codes. Everyone is happy. Everyone gets to play Outbreak. Oh, man. Should we jump into news?
Let's do news.
All right. Let's see. News of the week. Last week, we talked about PlayStation Plus. We're going to talk about it again this week. But Games with Gold was also announced for July. Xbox One through the entire month of July is getting Inside. And then July 16th through August 15th is Big Crown Showdown.
Okay.
And then Xbox 360, July 1st through the 15th is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And the 16th through the 31st is Meet the Robinsons from Disney.
I feel like, wasn't Meet the Robinsons one before?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Why the hell do I feel like my kids had that game?
Maybe they had the game.
Yeah, but I don't buy shit, so I don't know how or where they would have got it if it wasn't Games of Gold.
They mugged a homeless man and used his change in a jar to buy Xbox credit and buy the game.
Number three does have a jar, and she every penny she finds goes in that motherfucker.
So, that's smart.
She paid to go see Detective Pikachu last month with her jar monies.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, it's not a, people are bitching it's a bad month, but I don't think it is. I don't have Inside, so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to play it.
I think Inside and Castlevania are two solid games. Big Crown Showdown, like, why? I don't understand that being a Game with Gold title. Or Meet the Robinsons, like, I don't know.
Big Crown Showdown's not bad, though. I did enjoy it.
No, it's fun. It just, it's weird as a free monthly game. Like, I would expect that to join Game Pass first.
Yeah. I don't know. I am concerned, as much as I love Game Pass, I'm concerned that the offerings in Game Pass make us a little more snobbish towards Games with Gold, but also means that it might be a little harder to get a game, good games on Games with Gold, because they're going to be shipping them to Game Pass too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm about, like, 13% of me is expecting Games with Gold to go by the wayside completely because of Game Pass Ultimate, and you're getting everything in Game Pass anyway.
I don't know if they would get rid of it completely, but I don't know.
I do think it's when the new Xbox comes out, they'll phase out the 360 games.
Probably. And that would make sense.
Yeah. So, but I don't know.
Overall, I'm curious to see what happens. Decent month overall.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's okay. Nothing to write home about. We said last month that it would take something really special for Xbox to not win the month. And it seemed that happened because a reminder, PlayStation Plus, Horizon Chase Turbo and a different game. That's right. They got rid of PES Soccer.
What?
They got rid of it. They removed it from the lineup. I don't think Sony has ever done this before. But I guess the backlash for getting that soccer game was so severe that they swapped out Pro Evolution Soccer, and instead they're giving out Detroit Become Human Deluxe Edition, which includes Heavy Rain.
Fuck.
Yeah.
We need to be louder and bitch harder.
So I think with the addition of Detroit, I think Sony wins the month.
Yeah. Wow. That is some more shit.
Yeah, I wasn't too sold on Sony's lineup, but then Detroit got added, and that's a game I've kind of wanted to play. I don't want to buy it because it's a David Cage game, and he's such a prick, but for free, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I've watched people play it, and it's one of those where if I had a PlayStation, I would be in the same boat. Like, I'm very well aware that David Cage is a shithead. And, I wouldn't want to give him my money, but I'd play it for free.
Yeah. So, everyone would play for free.
I have mixed feelings about the whole, like, people bitched enough and they changed it.
Because what are your thoughts on it?
Like, kudos on them for listening, because that's not what Sony ever fucking does. But at the same time, boy, that is a pretty heavy cross to bear. Like, if you're going to start changing out the lineup because people don't like what you offer first, that, what do you, like, where's the limit for that where people start screaming they don't like it if it's two indie games?
Yeah.
You know? Like, the whole value of Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus is that you get games you wouldn't normally get your hands on. So it's, to me, it was always a good way to try out something new or different, or something that I missed out on when it first came out because I couldn't get it for whatever reason. And so, like, that's, are people just going to start bitching constantly when when it's not two AAA titles or a AAA and a bigger indie? Like, where is going to be their line in the sand on that?
No. It's still interesting that they listen to feedback and they're like, all right, you people are pissed off.
I'm crazy shocked. Absolutely shocked by it. But I don't know. Interesting conundrum. But
No Time and Carl in chat are talking about Xbox taking away things that people enjoyed, like Snap. Oh my God, I would give anything to get Snap back.
And Xbox is, on one hand, you really want to give Microsoft credit because they really do listen when people bitch. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes they put a little too much weight on what some of the people bitch about. Yeah. Like, Kinect, the people that had Kinect and the people that played Kinect generally liked them. Mm-hmm. Nobody complained about the Kinect except
mine's for
the people.
Still hooked up.
Yeah, the kids have theirs in their room and they play with it. So, I mean, the only people that really bitched about it were the hardcore echo chambers. And that's a problem. Like, I don't understand the mindset that consoles have to just be for hardcore. Like, everybody lost their shit. I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here.
Go for it.
Everybody lost their shit recently when the one of the head honchos from Sony was like, oh, the PlayStation 5 is for the hardcore. And they were like, yeah, he said for the hardcore, and Xbox is dead. And you're like,
calm your tits.
Why do you want to box it down to just, like, isn't it better that more people have access and more people play? Mm-hmm. Who cares whether they're playing God of War or Call of Duty if they're just playing? What's it matter as long as everybody is getting to enjoy themselves? That's the whole point of games. It's a game. You didn't play tags as a kid exclusively to best everybody else and be the biggest, you know, baddest kid on the playground. You played tag because it was fun. You enjoyed just running after your friends. There are people who want to play Call of Duty and only ever play zombies and only ever make it to level 5 and are still just having fucking fun. Yeah. And they don't care if they're not the top of the leaderboard. But that doesn't mean that their value in the gaming community isn't there.
Yeah.
And that you know, there's something wrong if consoles companies want to tap into that market. You just say, okay, well, that's not for me, and move on. Let people enjoy shit. There, you never hear the more casual players going, oh, all they want to cater to is the hardcore people and they don't care about us little guys. Because that would be stupid. Yeah. And the shoe being on the other foot is stupid. Quit being fuckheads.
The problem is there's a lot of fuckheads out there. Like what you were saying.
They're loud. Loud.
What you were saying with Sony saying that they're for the hardcore gamers and people cheering about it, Xbox is dead. Like, who wants other companies to die in the console wars? I'm not a big Sony fan, but I don't want the PlayStation to go away.
Competition encourages innovation. And as much as I don't like Sony for their anti-consumer programs, they have created aspects of gaming that have seeped out into the other consoles and into even into PC. And likewise, PC aspects creep into, look, we got mouse and keyboard on Xbox now, mm-hmm. you know, in an official capacity. We had it to an extent before, but in an official capacity, hey, yes, it's supported. Go for it. Those are all good things. They have to each race with each other to come up with the newest and the biggest. And that's nothing but good for gamers. You yeah. have, look at Project Scarlet and the potential PS5 right now.
You say the potential PS5, like that's not what the name is going to be.
I don't know. I mean, they might decide to switch it up. They might get unruly here in a minute, but who knows? but realistically, like they're each dribbling out little bits of details to come out. And that's good. The more one company knows what the other one's doing, the more they have to fight back and make it just a little smidge cooler and then do something else a little different. Or one of them just breaks down the walls and does something super innovative.
What do you think would be super innovative?
Kinect 3.0. No. And that's just it. I don't know. Like, I was genuinely surprised at E3 to hear them say ray tracing on consoles. I didn't think we were there yet. I thought that would be a next gen, you know?
Yeah.
Because even PCs are just now creeping into ray tracing. The RTXs came out and there were, what, like 5 games on release that could even support ray tracing.
Yeah.
And so when they're all like, yeah, we got ray tracing on the next consoles, I'm sitting there going, but that's a push. They were pushed into that because PC can do it. And so then they were pushed to find a way to make it. That's the innovation that we get because there's enough competition.
Yeah.
I went just, on tangent, just, didn't I?
You did. I didn't know if you had more to it or not.
No, I lost it. It's good. We're good.
Anyway, some other news, a lot of Game Pass news going on beginning of the month. So we're not only hearing about games joining Game Pass, but we've got some leaving as well. So let us start with the games leaving Game Pass. On July 9th, Aftercharge is leaving. On July 10th, Warhammer Vermintide 2 is leaving, which I'm bummed about.
Is it really?
Yeah, Vermintide 2 is leaving on July 10th.
Shit. Well, I never got to play it.
Well, we got a few days if you want to.
When am I supposed to do that? Have you seen my list of reviews? When?
Instead of playing Rocket League, you could play Vermintide.
See, that's the problem, because I can't play it with Studa, because I convinced him to play the first one, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, no time for games. Rip Vermintide 2, going to have to buy it now. Yeah, I'm going to have to buy it as well.
That's a bummer.
Fingers crossed they put it on sale next week. That'd be really nice if they put on a nice discount right as it's coming off Game Pass to encourage people to buy it.
You do get a Game Pass discount, too.
I know.
So, I'm just adding.
I'm just wanting more of a discount so I could save money because I'm a cheap bastard. On July 16th, we are losing the Lego Movie video game.
Oh.
Which is an easy thousand if you're interested in the Lego games. That was before they got all bloated and packed with way too much shit.
Yeah. Like
the new Lego games are. And then at the end of the month, July 31st, we're going to be losing Dandara, Dead Rising 2, Hitman Season 1, Metal Slug XX, Defense Grid The Awakening, and then these two surprised me. Hexic 2 and Iron Brigade.
Hexic 2? Wasn't that published by Microsoft?
Yes. It's a first-party game. And Iron Brigade from Double Fine, now a first-party studio.
I wonder if there's licensing involved.
I don't know, but all the people who say that Microsoft games will always and forever be a part of Game Pass, this is proof that it might not be.
Well, I think that's a bigger issue with the 360 games than more than the newer ones, but that's an interesting pool there. Yeah. I'd like to know more about why.
I don't know. But it's not all games leaving. We got a couple of games added. This week, we got Middle Earth Shadow of War on console and PC. My Time at Portia on console and PC. And Undertale on PC.
I am genuinely shocked by Undertale. I also find it so incredibly weird that Xbox Game Pass for PC gets games that we have no hope of seeing come to Xbox
itself. Yeah, that pisses me off so much. It, I want Undertale on Xbox so bad.
The Messenger is another one that it's on the Switch, it's on PC, it's on Xbox Game Pass for PC with Xbox achievements, but not on Xbox. And he's just like, why?
Like, come the fuck on. Just give us the goddamn games on Xbox. This is why.
It's such a weird conundrum, and I don't. I mean, it was one you knew was bound to happen, given, you know, the whole PC Game Pass aspect of it, but just. It's still weird. It's still a why? Why couldn't it have just been put on Xbox then? And I understand that, you know, the whole, oh, well, it's got to be ported and stuff, but. Xbox runs on the Ultimate Windows 10 platform, so you're already like 80% of the way there if you've ported it for Windows 10. So I don't understand the rest.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like we had an RPG come out a couple of months ago that we reviewed. It released on PS4 and on Windows 10 with Xbox achievements.
They're 95% of the way there.
But not on Xbox. It's so stupid. I hate it. Just release things everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially bigger. Like, that one was Arc System Works. They have the ability to release stuff on Xbox.
Yeah.
They already have. So why not just go all the way with it?
I would really like to hear just one. I know most of the people that come on the show for us to interview are Xbox friendly because we're Xbox friendly.
Yeah.
And so I would just want once to like review somebody who's or interview somebody who's mostly like PC or PlayStation, just so I can be like, so why do you hate us? And just wait for them to fumble.
Because you smell.
Cause your whole ecosystem is green. Come on, man. Well, fuck you. Green's the most popular favorite color, and I don't even like it, and I'm still here.
So I'm all about blue, surprisingly, which is Sony's color.
My favorite color is yeller.
Yeller.
Yeah.
Old yeller.
That's why I make everything pink, so I have to tell people my favorite color is yeller.
Oh, geez. July 11th, we're getting a couple of more games added to Game Pass. With PC gamers getting Time Spinner and Unavowed.
Okay.
Console players getting Lego City Undercover, which I think is pretty cool. That's a cool game.
Okay.
And then PC and console players getting Dead Rising 4 and Blazing Chrome, which is launching direct to Game Pass.
Nice.
Which we will be covering eventually. I don't know when, but soon.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Soon, TM.
Yes. And then they also announced the Game Pass members will also get to join the Gears 5 tech test with no pre-order required.
The way that they are launching Gears 5 is impressive. I have every single Gears game. I played Gears of War 1 for like 30 minutes and I died in the tutorial and I was like, never mind, this isn't for me. That was before I learned I was really good at shooters and I just had to get good at shooters. So I struggled and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't like it. And then I played Gears of War 4 Ultimate Edition when they did like that whole big shebang, like show on Mixer and everything. And, like they put a handful of codes up on the screen and I won one.
Oh, nice.
And so I had it. You know, pre-release, and I actually, but all I played was the Horde mode because I played it with two other people for maybe 2 hours that night, and then I haven't touched it since. And I really need to like pushed myself all the way through the Gears series, but I'm so impressed with how they're launching Gears 5 that it makes me want to go back and like maybe drag Studa through all of it.
I'll go through them with you.
Oh yeah, I need when.
Whenever you want.
It'd be it like don't 4 matter to me. We'll be running through Gears. But sounds I would good. Like to go through the whole thing before Gears 5 hits.
Yeah, I'm excited for the tech test. I hope Gears 5 is turning out well.
I can't imagine why it wouldn't. I mean, Gears, they know what they're doing at this point in the series.
True.
It's like Halo. It's like, it's really hard for you guys to fuck this up. You've had some time to figure out what works and what don't.
True. Oh, let's see. What other news is there? EA Access is finally launching on the PS4 July 24th. So that's right around the corner.
Okay.
Crackdown 3 got a free Flying High campaign update last week. The big features include the cluster duck grenade, a set of four elemental melee weapons, and a goddamn wingsuit.
I wish I had the wingsuit when I was doing some of those other fucking challenges in the beginning. It would have made life a whole lot easier. I'm at like 98% for one of the achievements for getting all the certain kind of orbs.
Oh boy.
And so like, I should really just get the fucking wingsuit and finish that achievement.
Do it up. It's nice to see them still supporting Crackdown 3. It came out and it got ripped on because it's not an amazing, you know, single player epic. But
you know, I didn't hate it. I did have fun with it. I played it clearly a lot. I did a written review for it. I had some complaints. The multiplayer was ass.
What, the Wrecking Crew mode?
Yeah, it was just so under thought out. Like, it was just underdone. And even the world they built, like, I don't know what the hell they were doing there. But, I mean, the game itself, I had a fantastic time just running around blowing shit up and destroying things and yeah, I don't know. As far as the campaign goes, I don't know why people were so busy about it. I do know, but I don't know at the same time.
Because it's easy to bitch about Microsoft.
It is. And again,
low-hanging fruit.
If it's not for the uber hardcore, the Twitter echo chamber is a savage, brutal, unforgiving place.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Block people and move on. Next.
SGDQ that we talked about last week going on, it ended with over $3 million in donations to Doctors Without Borders. $3 million.
That is insane.
Yeah, that is their all-time record, which is insane. It was crazy watching some of these last-minute donation incentives, watching it in, like, the donation counter is just nonstop increasing, moving and moving and moving. The rate at which donations were coming in, it was mind-blowing. It's crazy what the gaming community can do when it counts.
It's funny because you hear so much about how toxic gaming community is, and it is. let's not minimize that, because I have taken my own flack in this community. But I mean, it, you know, the toxicity is a thing, and gamers can be shitheads, but there is just as much good to be had in the community as there is bad. And I love special effect fundraisers and SGDQ for shining light on the good and letting that, just break out. And I don't think it happens enough.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to be better gamers.
I need to be a better person, too, but better gamer would be great. I'd love to be a better gamer.
Sometimes, just baby steps, Joe. Baby steps.
Let's see. Remedy has reacquired the publishing rights for Alan Wake. Have you heard that?
I did hear that, and of course the echo chamber was doing what it does.
Yeah, the big thing here is that they explicitly mentioned they are now free to publish the game on any platform that they want.
Yeah.
If they want to.
So it's basically going to be taken to PlayStation and Switch, I would assume.
Probably.
PlayStation more so likely than Switch. Given that it was a 360 game, I don't think there would be any problems running it on Switch. Again, they're just going to be boiled down to the licensing, because they had that problem even as far as Xbox went, where it got delisted for a little while because of licensing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, with proper licensing, you're probably gonna see it elsewhere. The biggest thing is that people are losing their shit that this somehow means that there's going to be an Alan Wake 2 or 3. Three, two, officially two. The American Nightmare didn't count as a sequel, right?
No.
So I don't know how likely that is, though.
No, you I don't guess think
the
so?
The fact that I'm assuming they had to buy out their rights to take it back from Microsoft. So if they did that, then they're going to hope for some kind of return on that investment, and then they would be more apt to, yes, make a sequel. I think it would depend on how well it's received on other consoles.
And that's if it shows up on other consoles. They might just do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll stay, like, you know, we released it on Xbox. It was an Xbox exclusive. Let's keep it exclusive to Xbox. Who knows? Yeah. We don't know what they plan to do. Business-wise, it would make sense to release it on other platforms and try to build hype for a sequel, but who knows what the company's doing. I'm sure they're focused on Control right now.
And again, that depends on, I mean, they would have to pay licensing for whatever, I don't know if it's music or what, but whatever was licensed.
I know Duracell was licensed.
Is it? Was it? See, I haven't played it. I have it, but I haven't played it. So I don't know what's, you know, licensed in it. But for whatever licensing, they would have to then license it to be released on other platforms as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they might discover that that's not a good return on investment and just eat up whatever comes back into them from Microsoft in any wayward sales from here on out. So, I don't know.
I don't know either, but last bit of news I have for this week is Cuphead's The Delicious Last Course DLC has been delayed into 2020. So man, people who are excited about more Cuphead DLC, or not more Cuphead DLC, but the Cuphead DLC, but you're going to be waiting. The thing.
Something to consider. How many times did they delay the game itself?
A lot.
Why is anybody surprised that the DLC is getting the same treatment?
I don't think anyone's surprised.
Okay. Just making sure.
just reporting news, reporting the obvious.
Because you always assume there's somebody out there going, how could they? They showed that at E3 last year.
Those sons of bitches.
I mean, it's part of the course.
Oh, snap. No Time for Games just cheered 500 biddies. You know what that means.
Dropping bits! Ah! All over your fucking face! Ah! Wet pancakes!
Oh, wet pancakes.
I find the humor in the fact that you got the pride lesbian fleck.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I support lesbians.
I got the asexual flag, and I am okay with that.
I don't even know what the different flags are. I'm uncultured swine.
You can hover over it, and it will tell you which one it's for.
Can you?
Yeah.
Pride lesbian. I am a proud lesbian, by the way.
I was familiar with the asexual flag already.
Hey, vertically impaired got the pride lesbian as well. So
nice,
Tony. You and I, we're going to be lesbians together.
Hashtag team pink. Can't even can't word English in our heart.
Oh. Better than Team Yeller.
Look, Yeller is the best color. I am already consciously aware that I say color funny, so you can't even pull that one on me either.
I didn't think color was that weird.
Yeah, I say color. It's very guttural.
Guttural. Color.
It does. It's like it's a weird pool at the back of your throat when you say it like a redneck. When you say it non-redneck, it's just color. But it's color.
Color.
Uh-huh.
What color is it? What color is it?
Okay, that's a little too guttural.
So, any news on your end, or should we dive into the reviews?
No, I've already gone off on tangents and shit. Not, we've been at this a while, and we haven't...
We haven't done shit this episode yet.
No, man. Yikes.
So, should we dive into reviews?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night, developed by ArtPlay, published by 505 Games, released June 18th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC, June 25th on the Switch for $39.99. Play as Miriam, an orphan scarred by an alchemist's curse which slowly crystallizes her body. To save humanity and herself in the process, she must fight through the castle and defeat the summoner, Gebel. I was about to say gerbil because it's G-E-B-E-L. I don't know if it's Jebel or Gebel.
They say it in the game, and I don't even remember because I had it up for like a little bit, and then I was playing it late at night, and I turned it back down.
I so badly wanted subtitles. To say gerbil.
But every time I read it, I tried to say gerbil in my head. I was like, no, stop it!
So how is Bloodstained? I know we were supposed to cover this one a little earlier, but there were some issues with the game. We waited for a patch. How is it?
So now that everything is nice and patched, and if you played it before the patch and then the patch came out, you lost all your shit and had to start over again. So I actively waited till post-patch to even start. So if you're waiting on me to like rip on it for needing patch, that's not going to happen. I think the fact that we can patch the shit out of a game when it first comes out is a good thing.
Yeah.
And
that's why we waited on the review.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes it has to be done, but whatever. This game has a seriously long development cycle. Like, they did Kickstarter for this in 2015.
Yep.
So the question is, was it worth the wait? And the bigger problem for me to answer that is that this is very much Castlevania-ish,
mm-hmm.
and you know, inspired by Symphony of the Night. And I have never played that. So I cannot if you are a Castlevania fan, this is going to scratch your itch. I cannot give you that in this review, and I apologize. But what I can tell you is that I had an absolute blast running through it. It's not a picture-perfect game. It draws on elements from a game that is super fucking old. And there are aspects of that kind of got under my skin, and I'll get to those in a minute. But if you're looking for a little bit of weeb and a little bit of gothic, okay, a lot of fucking gothic. and you just want to hack and slash some weird demon monsters, you're off to a good start here. So it is a 2D, I don't want to call it a platformer. This is one of those games that's like, if you tried to mention every genre it is, that was all my review would be. So... I mean, it is 2D. It's got a little bit of a platformer aspect. It's a little hack and slash. It's a little RPG. It's a little bit of everything. But it never really deep dives into any one genre or another. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like the best parts of everything you like about different genres.
Jack of all trades.
Crammed all into one. And I'm pretty okay with it. The RPG aspects of it are easy enough to understand and keep up with. And the UI... Okay, the UI is one of my sore spots. Hold on. Because the UI is easy enough to like understand what you're doing as far as equipping stuff goes, but it's fucking ugly.
Is it?
It is. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, 4-year development cycle, guys, and this was the best you could come up with? It's not pretty. It's effective, and it does what it needs to do. And like I said, I was genuinely surprised, because usually when it comes to these weeby RPGs like this, they like to go overboard. And it can be really hard to understand, like, all the nuances of if you put this piece of equipment on, it's going to do this, this, or that. And I can get lost so easily. But with Bloodstained, it was just like, if I hovered over something, it would show me on the side, this makes this stat go up, this makes that stat go down. I didn't always know what the stat was going to affect, but I could see if it was going up or down if I was willing to do that.
Oh, that's good, at least.
Gameplay-wise, it does have Metroidvania aspects. You're going to very quickly realize that you're dropped into this world and that you are not going to be able to go everywhere. It doesn't even, like, try to hide it from you. It's just in your face. See that ledge? You're not going there. Fuck you.
No, that's what Metroidvanias are about. There's a lot of backtracking and finding new paths and secrets and exploration and all that kind of fun jazz.
You will be getting your Metroidvania on. That was also one of my biggest complaints, though, was that just getting to the first and second boss, the second boss especially, when I got to that one, was a huge pain in the ass. You know, I got to the first boss, yeah, she kicked my ass a few times, but I eventually took her out. But then I got to the second boss, and for the life of me, I just couldn't get through it. I had gone through every crack and corridor and hallway and discovered everything I could possibly get to before I got to that boss. And I still wasn't good enough. And I literally just had to go back to the very beginning of the game 3 or 4 times, all the way from the beginning of the game back to the boss, just taking out every possible enemy I came to until I had racked up enough money to go buy some better gear or craft it.
No.
And it was just, there wasn't enough content in between beginning of game and boss to just be beefed up enough to even stand a chance. Like, I was doing 18 damage points per hit, and he was doing 58.
Yeesh.
You just don't stand a chance.
So difficulty spikes and a lot of grinding.
So, I mean, if you're going to play, you need to know and be prepared to go the fuck back and realize that you're not always progressing the story when you're doing that. You're just having to do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Which was probably my biggest gripe. Yeah, the UI is ugly, but just making me go back and leave a room and come back to it over and over and over again to spawn enemies just to get enough money and crafting materials so that I stand a tiny chance against a boss that's gonna beat my ass is really problematic. And the frustrating part of that was I was already technically a little overpowered by the time I got to the boss, the first run, because I was one hit killing the basic enemies in the rooms.
Yeah.
I'd walk by, and that's the best part. There's a demon that comes up out of oil in the floor. And like, I was one hitting them and their heads would fly across the room. And I felt like a badass. And then I get to the boss and he just shits all over me. And I'm just standing there going, what's this happy horse shit?
Oh, boy.
It's horribly unfortunate. However, there are other benefits to grinding out and killing the bosses besides just crafting stuff. When you kill enough of a certain type of enemy, you eventually unlock a shard. Now, you mentioned the alchemy aspect of the character you play as. Her name is Miriam. Miriam is an alchemical anomaly, if you will. They've done some tests on her and they've fucked around with her, and she's what's known as a shard binder. So she's part human, part crystal. When you kill those demons, after you kill enough of them, you can collect a demon shard. So those shards then affect how Miriam can fight and the abilities that she has. You can get a shard that will let you throw a bouncing ball of water that will do damage. You can collect a shard that will literally have giant tentacles come out of the wall and attack whatever's in front of them.
Nice.
That one's incredible, but it takes so much mana. You don't get to use that one much. You can improve the shards and make them more powerful as you go. So there's a lot of excuse you.
Vehicle drove by. Can't help it. Live next to a busy road.
So there's a lot of interesting mechanics at play, but there are a few quirks where it's very obvious that this was built on a concept from an older game. I expected a little more given the price point for the visuals of the game. The art styles don't always line up with each other. And if you've heard me complain about Kimco games doing that. So when it comes down to a game that costs as much as Bloodstained did, I would at least expect cohesive art styles, guys. And I was a little disappointed. Some of the animations in the cutscenes are also just horribly choppy. However, the character designs and the bosses you run into, the humanish bosses are shit. But man, you take on like the sea urchin in the very beginning, and like she's a big ass mermaid queen with tentacles, and she's incredible. Every boss should look like that one. Holy fuck. Like, that was such a creative boss. And then, like, some of the other ones I played, and I'm like, well, but you open the game with a sea urchin lady.
So they kind of blew their load early, huh?
They really did. I would have been more impressed with some of the later bosses if we hadn't started with the sea urchin kraken lady. I'm just saying. And that said, you get some really creative, like, the way that the shards relate to the bosses that you get them from is really interesting, and they really put some thought into that. But again, it's based on an older game. One of the things that bugged me was the motion is a little on the choppy side, because you can't shoot in a direction that you're not aiming. Like, looking at. So, like, if you're using, let's say you're using a sword and an enemy comes up behind you, like, you literally have to turn your character specifically toward, a normal human would be able to, like, reach back. It should be kind of a smoother motion. If you press X to attack, it should turn the character and lock on to the only enemy in the room. Yeah. However, it just kind of blindly flails in front of you. And it's like, okay, it should be a little smoother than that. It really should. I think that might be more of a gripe for me than anybody.
Yeah, that sounds like a you thing.
I just want it to be a smoother experience, you know?
Yeah.
When you look at games like My Friend Pedro and Seraph, and they have that same 2D combat, and it just looks more fluid. The fighting style is more fluid, whereas it does not look that badass when you're doing it in Bloodstained, because you're just kind of fumbling and hoping that you turned enough before you actually hit a button. That said, it has a little bit of an issue of too many potential fighting styles, and they're too segmented. Like, you can unlock Kung Fu boots, and those are fantastic, but if you have the boots on, you can only use martial art style. If you want to use a sword, you can no longer do like punches and kicks. It's just the sword.
Yeah.
If you choose a firearm, it's just the firearm. You lose all of, like, do you just suddenly forget how to kick somebody and, like, you're wearing special boots?
Crime just dropped biddies.
Ah, okay, I'll wait.
I just did it.
Oh. Son of a bitch. But, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, anyway.
Overall, $40 on this one. What are your thoughts?
It's a little high on the price side for what it is. It could use a little bit more polish and some more smoothing out, but I did have a really good time with it. I think I was surprised by how much I enjoyed playing it. Like, even when I wasn't in my, oh, I've got to crunch and work on review games time frames, and I just had some downtime to play by myself and play what I wanted, I still went back to playing Bloodstained because nice. I enjoyed it. So I do give it a very heavily recommended try it, just with the notice that, yeah, it's got some quirks. It's based on an older game and that shines through. And, one of the best things about it though is that you can play it and enjoy it even if you haven't played the other Bloodstained or if you haven't played, Castlevania type games before.
Yeah.
But the grinding is a bit of a bitch.
Well, you're going to have that in games. Yeah, so
be prepared for that.
The grind wouldn't bother me. I'm still waiting for my copy to show up from the UK. I ordered it from Game UK. I was really hoping it would be here by now, but the wait continues.
Sad face. You're going to love it because that's just right up your alley.
Yeah.
I will say I give them bonus points for being weebish without being hypersexualized. Her dress is a little short, but it's fine. And I love that you could customize the character. Like, there's an evil barber, and if you find him, he's an Easter egg, he's hidden. But if you find him, like, you can change the way your character looks. And my character was adorable by the time I was done with her. She was just an adorable demon-slaying machine.
Oh, something else we have to mention before the end of this review. We reviewed our copy on the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It is available for the Switch. I have heard that the Switch does suffer from some performance issues. We haven't been able to verify anything like that because we didn't get a Switch copy. So Switch owners might want to do a little bit more research on whether the game has been patched or not. It sounds like the game is still fun, still playable on the Switch. It just has some performance issues.
Mm-hmm. I did have one instance where it crashed on the Xbox One, but at that point, I was already like 4 hours into playing it that day.
Yeah.
So I think my machine was just like, slow down, lady.
It's like, play something else.
Yeah. And, but I only had the one crash. I didn't have any issues beyond that. I didn't have any problems with saving. Everything that was supposed to be fixed in the patch worked fine. And at this point, post-launch, I was satisfied with it. The load times are a little on the lengthy side. They could be worse if you don't have an X or a solid state drive or something. So yeah. I can imagine. Cause I was like, the few times it popped up, like, I was like, wait a second, fucking load times. And then I realized that that was probably faster than it should have been.
Because you're solid state.
Yeah. Other people probably had a longer wait.
Probably.
So that's just something to consider, too.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Underworld Ascendant, developed by Other Side Entertainment, published by 505 Games, released June 26th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Enter the Stygian Abyss, a dangerous, highly interactive dungeon world. Mix and match dozens of combat, stealth, and magic skills to develop your own unique style of play. Set out on more than 70 quests, earn rewards, and unlock skills through resourceful, unboxed gameplay and ingenious performance. Become the Ascendant. Cole, tell us about Underworld Ascendant.
This game was weird. I expected more of like a roguelike dungeon crawler out of this, and it tried to be more RPG. There's stealth elements, and yet they were just completely worthless. And I feel bad for saying that because this is part of the team that was responsible for Thief. And so I wanted the stealthy, like, roguelike experience, and it wasn't there. It's this first person, when you're playing it, you feel very much like you're playing Thief. It's very similar the way the character feels in your control. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about the way that it looks on the screen and the way it feels playing with the controls that you just like, yeah, I've played this character before. You're playing as a protagonist that's just known as the Ascendant. It's very run-of-the-mill RPG. You've been brought back to life by a spirit, and you're supposed to take down an evil god. There are 7 levels with like a hub world in between. The levels are kind of semi-open world. You can go wherever you want within them, but they have clear beginnings and ends. Mm. The hub world is where things are weird, though, because there's more RPG elements where, like, you have the different characters and there's all these different races. There's a really clear lore involved, if you can find it and follow it. But it's very jumbled in the way it's presented, and it's not a solid thing that you can understand. Like, I had to go look for videos and stuff to explain shit to me after I did it. I just couldn't keep up with where the lore was going in the game. Even though there's NPCs and stuff, you can't interact with them. They're just kind of decorations. They're there, and they have quests for you, but rather than flat out telling you, they put shit on notice boards, and you have to go to different notice boards to get the different quests. It's just very oddly set up. Especially when you look at the game, it's fucking gorgeous. It really is pretty. You're in these dungeon-like levels in some of the levels, and there's just these glowing mushrooms, and the lighting is so well done, and you have to think about, you know, am I hidden? Can the enemy see me? How am I going to attack them? And the way you move about it is really well thought out. And then just all of the lore and the way you interact with the NPCs that aren't enemies just completely throws it away. And it's just like they got to crunch, and they were like, well, we did really good on the gameplay. How are we going to handle the hub world? And then they went Anthem. But at least Anthem let you talk to the people. And it's like they got to crunch, and they just kind of lost it from there. The game would have definitely benefited from more time and a little more work. Gameplay-wise, it was really well done, though. Like, you would find these runes, and you could cast spells to help yourself out. And it just kind of changed the way that you approached the enemies and stuff. Like, oh, dude, can I cast this spell or that spell? And you know, change how I'm going to go into this situation in this room to get to the end of the level, basically. But it's all just kind of lost, and you're pulled out of it very easily. Like, you want to love it. It's so great on paper, but the execution is just a little off.
That's a bummer, because this one, it kind of came out of nowhere. It released on the store out of nowhere. I didn't even know it was out and it was coming. It existed until it was on the store, and I thought it looked really cool, and I kind of bummed to hear that it's kind of janky.
Yeah, when you asked me if I wanted to review it, and I looked at the trailers for it, and I was like, well, fuck yeah. And then I'm playing it, and the more I'm going into it, the more I'm just like, something's just not there. It has the potential for so much magic, and it's just not. And I can't really put my finger on what it is, other than, you know, I mean, the hub world and stuff is a thing, but you'd think you could get used to that. But there was just something about it that was just missing. And yeah. It just felt unfulfilled. And I'm sad about it, and I feel bad saying it, but it is true.
Yeah, on the bright side, it's only a $30 game as opposed to a $60 game, so does that help matters?
Yes and no.
Helpful reply.
I know, like, I mean, it makes it easier to give it a try it than a deny it.
True.
Because I think it's at that price point. And I mean, there is a lot there. It's the 7 levels and all of the different races and stuff that you can be doing quests and stuff for. There's content. It's just a matter of, is it going to appeal to you?
Yeah.
Can you forgive that it's just a little shot on being what it should be? But I think I can give it a try it.
So your official verdict is?
Try it. Yeah. I think I had too much high hopes for it. And I was a little more disappointed. But if you go into it knowing what it's going to be, then you're not going to be quite as down about it as I was.
Nice. But, well, yeah. I am going to end up giving this one a shot myself. I apparently got high and bought it last night. So, fun for me. I have the game. I'll give it a shot this weekend and see if I enjoy it as any more than you did.
Well, it's when I really got started with it, I was like, oh, at everything, and then it just lost it very fast. Mm. So I'm curious to see how you feel about it.
Hey, still got to try it. That's good enough for me to try.
Yeah.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Doling's Invasion, developed and published by Hero Concept. This one will be out July 10th on Xbox One for $9.99. Another tribute paid to yet another arcade classic from the Hero Concept team, Doling's Invasion promises a fun gaming experience to gamers of all ages with the innovations it brings to the shooting genre. Cole, tell us about Doling's Invasion.
So, if you played the first Doling's, you basically got the concept down. There are invaders coming down. Can't remember the proper term for them. There was like a whole name for them. And I don't remember it. I lost it. I had it on the tip of my tongue and it's gone. but it's proud basically like Space Invaders. The enemies go left to right, come down. They shoot some kind of ball at you. I don't know. I found myself referring to it as pooping on me while I was playing the game. Because it just comes straight down and it's the color of whatever one released it.
Oh, God.
And so it's just a ball. So, I mean, they're basically shooting at you, but I just kept saying they kept pooping on me. but now, where this one is a little different is that there's an actual invasion. The first game was you were trying to heal the other Dolings. This time it's an actual different species that's attacking you. They're not the Dolings that are coming down after you. It's a different species. They kind of look squid-like. They are different colors. You hit it, changes to another color. The goal is to get it to turn blue so that you can one-hit it and make it go away. You do have the added benefit that your character, who you start off with Morpheus, he can change into different characters over the course of the game. And each one of those has their own special abilities. I don't want to spoil them and give them away. So I'm not going to go into all of the different ones. Morpheus to start with when you kill one of the squid characters, they drop a like. Literally always a little good. Thumbs up, it drops a like, and you can collect a like. You collect enough of the likes, and the spotlights will come on, and then when you have enough of the spotlights on, you can show off. So for Morpheus, his show off is a color gun. You can then hit, let's say you've got 4 green squid thingies in a row, and you shoot them. And then they all 4 will turn blue. So everything that's touching will turn to the same color as if you hit them all instead of just one of them. So it makes it easy for you to clear out big waves. But while you're also taking out the normal squid invader dudes, there's also the queens who will be flying across the top. There are 3 queens per level. And if you take out the queen, she will drop a bit of a potion which you can use for an upgrade. So you can make it so that your show off time lasts longer, or so that it affects more of the invaders. Different upgrades are available with each level and each morph that you can, different form that you can morph into. It's so hard to explain this. What the fuck? Why am I stumbling over these words? Like, I can see it in my head, but I am really stumbling to explain it because it's a weird concept.
And it is yet a weird game.
Not overly weird. Like, the gameplay mechanic, it's Invader. It's Space Invaders. But, like, the queen and everything is just the squid and dudes. It's all a little weird, and I keep stumbling over it. Because I can see it, but I feel like I'm not describing it properly to give it justice.
Basically, it's a fun twist on Space Invaders with power-ups and bosses.
But you know what?
Craziness.
It's fucking hard, Joe.
It is fucking hard.
I've played it on normal, and like, I would make it through a level a day, and I was so happy to clear it that I was just like, I don't want to do the next one because it's going to take me another 24 hours. There are 10, I think it's 10 stages per level. And, you know, you're going through them and you're clearing them out, and then you get to a boss stage. It's very self-explanatory, but it's just so weirdly difficult, and I can't put my finger on why. Oh, wait, yes, I can. It's because you can only shoot one orb at a time, and you cannot shoot again until that ball either hits something or goes all the way off the screen. So if you miss, fuck you. You're waiting. And if you're down to that last squid dude, he goes super fast.
Yes.
And there is nothing else for that ball to hit. So you better time that shit well. Spoiler alert, you will not time that shit well. And I cannot tell you how many times I would be on my last life, and then that last little fucking squid would nee 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 back across the screen super fast, pooping all over the place, and I just can't hit him.
And you die.
And I die because I accidentally zoom into some poop. This leads to my biggest complaint about it. I got two big complaints about this game.
Let's hear them.
It's hard, sure, but it's doable. But it would be less hard and more doable if the character moved a little quicker. That little fucking doling needs to lay off the dough. He goes so slow. And in some of the later levels, there are enemies that will fall if you hit them. They fall super stupid fast. And you move super stupid slow. So even when you think you're past them, they're still going to hit you. And that's super fucking stupid.
Oh, boy.
You feel like you're past them. You should be past them.
You're not past them.
And yet somehow they still manage to nick your hitbox. And I just don't get it. The hitbox could be brought in just a quarter of a centimeter and you'd be fine. Because your character is past. Your character's through. It's fine.
Yeah.
There's also one other enemy that I had a big problem with that did this. There are little wooden totem-looking squid dudes. And when you take out the squid under them, they fall down. Which is fine. You know you're going to do it. You have that warning, right? So you move and you start working on like the next column and trying to take them out as well. And that one falls down and you're like, whatever, I'll move on to the next column. I'm in the clear. Yeah, when it hits, it fractures and falls to the sides just a tiny bit before it fades away. And it's just enough to hit your hitbox, even when you're in another column.
Mm.
That's not cool.
No.
So that is my one number one huge ass complaint about the game is that hitbox needs some work. Yeah, I get it. The guy's made of dough. He's a little fluffy. Fine. But there's no excuse for the hitbox taking up a column and part of another one.
Yeah.
Because it does make it impossible to get away from falling threats unless you literally go to the other side of the screen and you're too goddamn slow to do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I had a blast. The game is a lot of fun. The bosses are creative. I had a really good time with some of those, although fuck the one that drops the bombs. Because, again, that's you fall into the hitbox issue.
Yeah.
So if you could just... I don't even know that the character necessarily needs to move faster, but a sensitivity option would go a long way.
And then adjusting the hitbox.
Yeah, and adjust that hitbox. And then you could even still leave them at that slower speed, but I felt like I had to just lean into the controller to get him to move.
Yeah.
And it was very stiff. And again, this may even not be an issue for everybody else. This may be one of those, my hands fucking hurt, and I don't like to push on the buttons that hard. I always crank up the sensitivity when I play any kind of shooter or anything that requires movement, which is basically every game. And so this could fall more on me. But the hitbox is an issue regardless. That needs shrunk down just a smidge. And I think that's the frustrating part about it. It's literally just the tiniest amount. But it's just big enough to be a problem.
No,
otherwise, the game's flat.
Overall, $10.
I'm gonna go for a really high recommended try it. Because again, it was a lot of fun, but something's got to give. Like it needs something to happen to make it a little more doable. Because it is just unnecessarily hard. And I think the fact that you playing it on normal and knowing there were two other difficulties.
Is scary.
Made it worse. And when I see it, and when if you die on the boss, you go all the way back. You get to stay on the level you're on, but you'll go all the way back to stage one. There is no checkpoint before the boss. So that's why I kept saying, well, I'd make it through a whole level a day. And I was proud of me because every time I died, because my hitbox was too goddamn big. Do it all over again. So, oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. I give it a really, really recommended try it because it is fun. But it just tweak it just a little, please.
All right. Well, the next game to talk about is called Paradox Soul, developed by Ritual Games and Grab the Games, published by Rattleika Games, released July 2nd on PS4, 3rd on Xbox One, 5th on the Switch for $4.99. Paradox Soul is an exploration-based survival Metroidvania that takes hand-holding and throws it out the window. Instead of spelling everything out for the player, the only way for Dr. Allie Rose to figure out what's going on in a peculiar test factory is to descend deeper down into the rabbit hole and figure it all out by herself. Ole, tell us about Paradox Soul.
Man, Rattleika knows what they're doing. They know how to get that money. Paradox Soul reminded me so much of The Long Reach, just without the weird zombie angle. Instead of zombies, there's robots. It's that very 8-bit-ish, what was that other one that I played too? Can't even remember. shit, there's been too many.
We cover a lot of games on this show or something.
I'm sorry. I always feel so bad, too, when I don't remember a game from, like, show to show. And I'm like, if you had any idea how much I cram for these shows, you'd understand. They start to all meld together eventually.
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't mean I didn't love it in the moment, but they meld together eventually. But it's got that very 8-bit pixel style. You know, mechanic, you have your basic character. It's a female character this time, though, which is a nice change of pace. I'm down for this. Not that it matters, because she's 8-bit. She's just a few squares anyhow. It's a female character. And you're shooting up through, a robot invasion. The robots have turned on people, and it's a very mundane story. Just kind of an excuse to go in and shoot some pixel robots. And that's okay. That's really all it needs to be. Yeah. Because here's the hitch. You can beat not beat it, because there's like 60 some odd levels. But you can complete it, achievement-wise, in like 30 minutes. playing it legit.
Shocker that a Rattlelake game you could complete in 30 minutes.
I'm just telling you, these guys know what they're doing. That said, this is one of their stronger games. Every now and then, you play a Rattlelake game and you're like, yeah, this was just for a quick cash grab from Achievement Horse. And that's fine. But this one is actually really interesting in that it's got a neat story, and playing it legitimately, with the story, I keep wanting to interject bits of it, and then I go, no, that's a spoiler, I don't want to do that. Even though it doesn't matter, and like everybody listening to us is like, $5 game for easy completion, I'm down. They stopped listening to me a long time ago. The story is neat, and there are reasons why you are going against these robots. The bosses are really creative that you're going to run into and everything, but it's an easy completion, and that's not a bad thing in any way. Most people just aren't going to actually play all 60 elements of it. But as far as like Rattlelake goes, this is one of their stronger games. And it's kind of a shame that people are like going to get the completion and be done and miss out on the rest of it. But it is easy to play, easy to pick up. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to wander around and find ID cards and pew-pew. I liked that when I first started playing it, I was like, okay, this is very... And I said it at the beginning of the review, too. I was like, this is very much like the Long Reach. And then, like, if at some point you find a super suit and you're just, like, rolling through tiny crevices and drop-shotting robots and jumping over laser orbs, and it gets really rambunctious about halfway through. You're just like, didn't expect it to go all that. But it does, and it's a lot of fun for a $5 game, you know? Like, it doesn't try to be anything more than that, because it doesn't have to be. It's just enjoyable for what it is.
I actually think it's being a lot more ambitious than just a $5 game. Like, a full-on Metroidvania with how many rooms there are to explore, how much backtracking to do,
can lose yourself forever in this game.
You can lose a lot of time. We could say you can complete it in half an hour, but the full game... Yeah. If you're willing to put yourself into the full game, you're going to find a great experience. And it's a meaty experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a $5 game.
And that's why I was like, when you get to the part where you're getting the different equipment, and I brought up the suit that lets you do the double jumps and stuff like that. Like, you go very quickly from, this is just some minor pew-pewing of robots, to, hey, wait, this is really cool.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna pick up from that, and you didn't.
No, I mid yawn when you talked.
Oh, I thought I heard you. That must have been the yawn, but I thought you were getting ready to speak, and so I stopped. But it does. It goes into, you know, from low key to cranking it up really quickly and kind of surprisingly.
Yeah.
I think if you stick it out and play just past what you need to do for the achievements, you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
I agree. Although I do have one major complaint.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the map.
I never even looked at the map. I was exploring.
Hated trying to use the map. It's like all grid based. Each room is a grid and it just goes across the screen and down the screen. Like, I hated the map. I wish they would have done something better with the map. I understand why they did it the way they did, to just kind of line everything up in a grid and it supposedly be more convenient. That I thought, I hated the map. I would have preferred a standard Metroidvania style map over this one any day of the week. But
yeah. Yeah, I didn't even mess with the map, because I was just going room to room as I came to them and exploring them out and then going back.
No.
You do only take a few hits, which is kind of a pain in the ass, but it's really forgiving in that the checkpoints are every time you go in another door. So if you die, you just start back at the beginning of the room. But now, some of the later levels, they're lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a bit of a bitch, and you do have to be more careful, or you're starting back at the beginning. But it's not until the later levels that it's really one of those where I was like, ah, every time I fucking died, which was a lot. I got run and go happy, and was just like, blasting through things. And sometimes I would forget that, no, I've got to sit down and chill out and hide behind a box before I get shot by a demon robot.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I would just be like, oh, yeah.
All right. Well, $5 on Paradox Soul. What's your official verdict?
Normally when it comes to these quickie Rattalica games, I'm like, fuck it, why not? But I give this a flat out buy it because it's not just a quick and easy completion. It's actually really well thought out and done.
Nice. I agree. Yeah, for $5, it's an easy buy it.
Yep.
So, all right. Final game to talk about tonight is called Grass Cutter Mutated Lawns, developed by Usanic, published by Sometimes You, releasing July 10th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Vita for $6.99. The goal is to cut the grass. Very simple, but only at first glance. Grass Cutter calls for focus and commitment. Just one blink of an eye and you lost. Cole, tell us about Grass Cutter.
Rattalica and Sometimes You are going to battle to the death. And the prize is going to be a Gamerscore Whore's wallet.
It's so true.
I'm not wrong.
Oh, boy.
So, if you've ever played any Centipede game, here you are. Only you're cutting grass, and there's demon grass, and there's no words in the game, so I don't quite understand what went wrong besides some kind of science experiment resulted in mutated grass. And somebody sprinkled it in a lawn. And now there's mutated grass monsters that chase after your lawnmower. But it's okay because you can get enough gears to buy upgrades for your lawnmower that make it a cow. And the cow's poop is dangerous to the monsters.
This sounds so stupid. I love it.
This is another one of those where you're like, on the surface, it's the most basic shit ever. And then you start playing it and you're like, somebody was on a fucking acid trip here. And I'm thankful for it because this is the kind of shit that leaves you like, this is how you get Plants vs. Zombies, is that somebody starts out with Grass Cutter. So whoever made this, they're on the way to like being a fucking genius. They just need to do some more PCP or less PCP.
Oh, my God.
One or the other. And I don't mean primary care provider. I mean a different kind of PCP. But it's an interesting take on cutting the grass. They might have cut a different kind of grass. The levels are really well thought out. There's a lot of different obstacles that can slow down your grass cutting ways. You can run out of battery. You can run into the mud. You can buy an upgrade that makes it to where you can get out of the mud, so it doesn't matter. You can run into, if you run into an obstacle, like there's a fence. If you hit the fence, then you lose some of your battery. If you run into the water, it's an instant game over. You can collect battery. There will be power-ups that will randomly kind of spawn in the level. But you have to decide if it's worth your battery to go and get it. Because once your lawnmower is out of battery, which is so weird for me to say because lawnmowers use gas. But this one,
I don't know. We have an electric one that you just plug in.
That is still weird to me. Like,
yeah, it is.
But then I just had a rant with David last night where I was like looking on Pinterest and like, people have these little postage stamp yards, and I'm like, the fuck's the rest of it? So, the idea that you can, like, use a battery-operated mower is still kind of foreign for me. However, there are different, like I said, there are different mower types. You can get some that have more battery power. You get some that don't lose as much of your battery if you hit something. You can go through the pig or go through the mud like a pig rather than just being an instant game over. So there's a lot of different ways to cut this grass. It also has puzzle aspects, which you would not think for a grass cutting game. But you may have to move a box so that you can cross over to get grass in a certain area. it's so ridiculous. Like, I cannot believe I'm sitting here talking about mowing grass that's mutated and turning into monsters. And yet it was so fun. And I would find myself raging when I would get hit by a monster and not have a shield or something. And then I'd say, it's 3 a.m. and I'm playing a grass. I am about cutting grass. Now, I did say it was very centipede-like, and it is in the like, how you move your lawnmower around, but there's no negative effect to, like, running over where you've already mowed. It's just a means of getting. And I was kind of surprised by that. Like, I thought that there would be some kind of, like, negative impact. Like, oh, if I cross where I've already mowed, I'm fucked. But it's literally okay to do it. And that's sometimes that's going to be the only way you get to clear it. Clear the lawn, cut all the grass, have yourself a little party, and go on to the next lawn.
Nice.
Yeah. For what'd you say? $6.99.
So your official verdict for $7.
I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was really well laid out. It played well. I don't have a single fucking complaint. It's another quick completion if you're into that. And you know, if you don't have an allegiance to Rataleika and you're okay buying a Sometimes You Quickie, then here you go. If you prefer Sometimes You Quickies over Rataleika Quickies, well, here you go.
Why choose? Enjoy both.
Look, for under $20, you could have them both and you could just knock it out of the park, spend an hour, get 2,000 gamer score. I think it's a buy it.
Awesome. So I got to know, 5 games, what's your pick of the week?
You might not believe this, but it was Bloodstained.
Really? Even with your gripes?
Yeah. Even with the gripes, I got over it enough that I had a good time playing it. I had to learn to, like, manipulate it and not play my normal run like a chicken with my head cut off way. Like, I see a boss door and I go, no, I'm good, and I go back. And I just waited out.
Nice. Well, it's good to hear that despite the complaints, Bloodstained is your pick of the week.
I enjoyed it.
Oh,
you're going to love it.
My copy shows up. I really
hope it
shows up.
You're going to play it and you're going to be like, that bitch was just complaining to complain.
Probably.
So you're going to be happy as a pig in shit.
All right. Well, on that note, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much, Cole, for coming on and doing what you do with me. Do you have any final words to end the show?
No, I'm done here. I'm fucking hungry.